Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now to talk all things baseball from FoxSports.com is our friend Ken Rosenthal. Ken, Dale, and Michael again. How are you?
How are you guys today?
Hey,
We're
Kenny.
Doing great, thanks.
Michael, how are you doing, man? I'm shocked by Schilling, by the way. I can't believe he's doing this.
You're shocked? Well, what shocks you about Schilling, Ken?
Being sarcastic.
I was going to say, I'm not. I was telling Dale earlier, Ken, I don't know if you agree with this. I'm not shocked at all. When he said it in 2006, it just didn't hit me. Nothing personal against Kurt, but who retires today, Ken?
Right, and heck, he's a young man by pitching standards today. There's a lot of guys over 40 still going, and I was never one to believe that he was going to retire after 07. I understand his logic at that point, which was, hey, family time, I really want to cut it back, but it's very hard for any player to walk away when they still can perform, and I'm sure he believes that he still can perform. And the other part of this is he has some things he can accomplish here. And I'm not sitting in front of my computer. I don't have his exact win total in front of me. But if he can get in the 250 range, it's going to enhance his Hall of Fame candidacy, which is pretty significant as it is. So I think there's a lot to play for when you're Curt Schilling, and I think that's what he's seeing.
In your opinion, if in fact Schilling is looking for a one-year extension at the same money as 2007, I can't even foresee a situation where that wouldn't get done quickly.
Well, what is his salary this year? Is it 12 or 16?
13, I think.
13. I would think that would get done. You never know. It's still a lot of money for an older pitcher, and still some risk there. I think about the Red Sox, I might want to see him pitch a little bit before making that judgment. But at the same time, I would think it would not be a financial problem. I think that if he wants to play, assuming the Red Sox want him back, they'll be able to work through an agreement.
Now, Curt Schilling is not the only name we're looking at today. Todd Helton, supposedly, the Red Sox are really in the mix for this to make this Todd Helton trade. Ken, just looking at his numbers, it looks like he's a player in decline. Is that what your sources are telling you, too, or your sources or your eyes?
Yeah, my eyes can tell me that one. He is a player in decline. However, there's a significant qualifier here, Michael. Last year, he had a really serious stomach ailment, and I believe it was late April, early May. And at the time, it was thought he might have Crohn's disease. No one knew what was wrong. There were a couple of days of real uncertainty there. And then it turned out that they diagnosed the ailment. He was okay for the most part, but he came back too soon. And I don't think he ever got his strength back. I think last year you can almost throw it out. And I don't think you can count it. Now, even before then, he was in decline. The question is, in Fenway Park, in the Red Sox lineup, in a league in which offense rules, would he revive? I think you'd have to bet on yes. He's too good, and he's been too great a player throughout his career not to bet on that. And it's a very intriguing move from the Red Sox. And the haggling over this right now is over the number or the type of players involved. And you can understand the Red Sox not wanting to give up premium young talent when they'll be taking on a huge amount of money. And, of course, you can understand the Rockies not wanting to make the deal unless they get a reason to do it in return.
If, in fact, as Tracy Ringlesby wrote in the Rocky Mountain News, the Mike Lowell and Julian Tavares parts of the deal are probably agreeable to both sides, but then there's this list of young prospects that would include guys like Hanson and Del Carmen. If that's what it is, Lowell, Tavares, and one of this group of five, if you're the Red Sox, would you do that?
Absolutely. Especially if it's one of the relievers. And I know they've invested a lot in Hanson, his number one pick, and even Del Carmen, but let's face it, they're relief pitchers. Mike Lowell, losing him is not going to hurt you because you'll move Euclid over to third. Tavares, if they had any faith in the guy, they'd want him because they have a voided closer. So they obviously don't have much faith in the guy. Yeah, I would do that. I might even do it with Ellsbury, and there are mixed feelings about Ellsbury in the game. I know he's Baseball America's number one Red Sox prospect, but I have scouts who tell me that he's not going to be a special player. He'll be a good player, but nothing special. Yeah, I think I would do that. Although, the one thing that would give me pause is the money. It's five more years, and that's the concern I have. But they've gone down this far. Obviously, they want the player. If they've gone down this far and they want the player, if that's what's holding it up, that would not be a holdup for me. And I'm not so sure it's as cut and dry as that. These things are so fluid, guys, and you know that, that they can shift money around, they can shift players around. I think Youkilis has been mentioned in the talks at various points. I don't think it's just Tavares, Lowell, plus, and it's done. I'm not so sure it's that easy.
Ken, I know the Red Sox thought in 2005 when they drafted Craig Hansen that he was a special player. Do you believe they still feel that way about him, and do people in baseball feel that way about him?
I think there's some questions, obviously, but they brought him to the big leagues awfully fast, and he is still a young professional. And from that perspective, I don't think you can give up on him in any sense if you're the Red Sox, if you're their fans, if you're even people in baseball. I think you have to let his career grow a little bit and let him flow and let him just become whatever he is going to become. Relief pitchers are volatile. We know that. And he's had a little bit of a rocky road here, but I am by no means ready to say that Craig Hansen can't be a successful major leaguer.
You can also see from a Red Sox perspective, if you did acquire a guy like Helton, and we were playing around with potential lineups and batting orders here, I mean, you can see where you could be into other teams' bullpens in the third inning the way these guys would work counts.
Helton's career on-base percentage is .430. Now, some of that might be Coors Field in the old days when it was a real hitter's paradise, but .430 is .430. That's pretty darn good. And that's even coming off a down year last year.
And his career OPS is over .1.
Yeah, he is a very good offensive player. Now, he's lost power. But at Fenway, he could be another Wade Boggs, just spraying the ball off the Green Monster, and he'll get on base. I mean, you can hit him in the two spot. You can hit him lower if you want. I think he'd be a good fit. Now, would he be a good fit for 5 years? That's a question you ask with any player signed for that length of time. But if the Red Sox were in for, say, $8, $9 million a year, I think in their minds that would be good enough.
Look, Ken, we can all go back to that. I believe it was a five-game series between the Yankees and the Red Sox when Theo came out and said, look, we don't have the resources that the Yankees have. What happened between August of 2006 and in January of 2007? Daisuke Matsusaka, J.D. Drew, now Todd Helton. Your opinion, your theory, what's up with the change in philosophy?
That is a great question, Michael. And I think what happened is, at the end of the season, or even before, somewhere probably after the five-game series, through the end of the season, they decided, all right, we might not be the Yankees in terms of what we can spend, but we're not the Kansas City Royals either. And we shouldn't complain and whine about it. I think one thing that Lucchino brought when he came with the ownership group, Lucchino wanted to take the Yankees on head-on. And it was curious to me why they got away from that. And while they might not have the resources the Yankees do, they've got vast resources, as we all know. In fact, probably second or third in the game to the Yankees, maybe the Mets, maybe some others. So there's no reason why they can't operate like this. And I think this is more where they were when the ownership group took control of the team at a point when they said, okay, let's go, let's fight. I don't know why they stopped fighting, but they did, and it cost them last year.
What did you think when the Red Sox, well, I won't say it, when we first heard about J.D. Drew, because it took 50-some-odd days to get it done, when they finally got it done last week, what did you think about his addition?
I didn't get it at the start. I don't get it now. And the one thing I'll say is he will be less of a focal point in this lineup, and that is a good thing for him. I don't think he is a guy who's a linchpin player by any stretch of the imagination. He is a guy whose passion has been questioned, I think rightly so. It's not that J.D. Drew doesn't like to play or doesn't want to play hard. It's just that he is a little different, I think, than some other players. A Schilling, for example. And I don't know if you'll ever hear J.D. Drew called a warrior. That doesn't mean he can't be a successful member of the Red Sox. It's just he's a different personality. And in New York and Boston, it takes, I think, a certain breed of player to succeed there. One thing I want to say, one point I want to make. We talk about Manny all the time, right? And Manny's value and should they trade him. Well, here they are. They're taking on J.D. Drew. One reason they can take on J.D. Drew is because they have Manny and because J.D. Drew doesn't have to be the man. One reason they can take on Todd Helton, and even with the questions about Todd Helton in his career, is because Todd Helton doesn't have to be the Todd Helton of 3 or 4 years ago. Why? Because they've got Manny and Ortiz. So I think in recent days, Manning's value, to me, has been shown again to be extreme. It's extremely high.
Ken, I've heard managers question J.D. Drew and the passion. You were just talking about that. And I've heard fans question J.D. Drew. What do his teammates generally think of him?
I think it varies. I think some guys would like to see him out there more, showing more fire, and other guys accept him for what he is. That's a variety of opinions that you invite when you kind of ask that question. But I think players do, in general, question other players when those guys, A, don't show the aggressiveness that you would want out of a major league player, and B, don't always take the field when nicked up. Now, it's very dangerous to question a player when he's hurt, and I have a hard time doing that. I don't think it's right. If the guy says he's hurt, I think to some extent you have to take his word for it. But there are players who are considered soft and players who are considered gamers, and there are reasons for that.
Bottom line, if you take Trot Nixon away from the Red Sox and replace him with J.D. Drew, are you a better team?
I think you are a better team, but you're a different team. And in the end, Trot Nixon was in decline. So Trot Nixon next year probably wouldn't produce the numbers that J.D. Drew is going to produce for the Red Sox. But at the same time, you do wonder about the mix. You do wonder how J.D. Drew will fit in. And not everything is numbers. This is a great debate in the game right now, the numbers versus the human element. And I'm one who believes that the numbers are very important. But these games are played by human beings. And we can't discount that. And J.D. Drew is a certain type of human being and has been throughout his career. And I know he played a lot last year. But his manager, Grady Little, used him very carefully. And he picked his spots, and I think he did a pretty good job keeping him on the field.
Look, Ken, I know pitchers and catchers haven't reported yet, so it's probably not the wisest move to be coming up with off-season grades, but just on paper. And if this Todd Helton trade goes through, do you think the Red Sox have had the most productive off-season of any team in baseball? Or let's say not baseball, in the American League.
It's hard for us to say they were more productive than the Cubs. And productivity doesn't equal production because we don't know what they're going to get for their money. And we don't know that from the Red Sox either. But they've certainly addressed most of their needs. The one thing that is still glaring is the lack of a proven closer. And it's a difficult thing to fill. It's a difficult thing to address. And they're just going to have to sift their way through and then hope at the deadline something comes free if they don't have it resolved by then. But while they spent a lot of money, I think Lugo is going to be a good player for them. I think he is a guy who will thrive in Boston. I think Drew certainly can be, and Helton, I would bet on his revival if he came over. I don't think he'll ever hit for the same power, but he wouldn't need to in that lineup.
What's your take on Daisuke Matsusaka's rookie year in Major League Baseball and how that'll go?
Well, I can't sit here and tell you how it's going to go. No one can, not even the most brilliant analyst in our game. But I can't wait to see it, because clearly this is the most gifted pitcher coming from Japan since Nomo, maybe even more gifted than Nomo, and it's going to be really fascinating to see how he does in the toughest division offensively in baseball, or at least one of them, because I think the AL Central is pretty darn good too, but he's in the American League, he's in Fenway Park, and yet he's got this great talent, and it's going to be a lot of fun watching it all evolve.
Ken, I'm wondering where your travels will take you when pitchers and catchers report. Where are you going first?
Fort Myers, baby. The reason is I want to be there for Matsuzaka's first day. I think that's going to be a huge thing. And I'm not, like, necessarily excited about the media contingent and the size of it. I'll be part of it, of course. But I just think him and his whole saga is going to be one of the big stories of the season. So I'll start there. And what I do, Michael, I try to go to as many places as I can. I don't stick with one team more than one day, generally.
We always appreciate the time and the expertise, Ken. Thank you very much for being with us again.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Take care. Thanks. Ken Rosenthal from Fox Sports joining us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.